Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
216-474.
Ice tea's all around, baby.
Hey, whatever it takes. 216-474-0092 is the number to call in. You can always hit us up on social media, and you know how to do that, at CLE Talking Heads. You've been doing that for 13 years, and I am so proud of you for doing that. Oklahoma City, woo-wee! Last night, the Pacers came. They came a-knocking. And in the end, the Thunder came back and had no regrets about almost giving away, what, an 18-point lead? Was that what it was last night?
I do believe that is correct.
An 18-point lead. They cut it to 2. Indiana did, and you were like, here we go again. It's like, I've seen this game before. But then, for some reason, last night, Oklahoma City found themselves, and man, what a night they had from so many different players. But, you know, you look at the way this series has played out, and what I see is this thing going back to Indianapolis for game 6. I see Indianapolis taking an early lead, getting everybody real excited, and then I see Oklahoma City sneaking in at the end and saying, we are the champions, because it feels like it's over, and it definitely feels like it's over if Tyrese Halliburton can't play at full potential. I had 4 points last night. He is banged up. He is hurt, and it is very, very reminiscent for me of watching the Cavaliers, and I think it might probably for you guys too, of watching Darius Garland just kind of limp through the end of that series, knowing that he was in pain. And then, I don't know, I started having deeper thoughts about Garland and why are we in such a big hurry to get rid of him. I'm not there.
Who's in a hurry to get rid of him?
Oh, everyone seems to be, oh, he's the guy you can trade. He's the guy you can trade. We can make this team better.
Well, he is a guy you could trade, but you don't need to get rid of him. You don't need to get rid of anybody. Why do you make a trade? You make a trade because
make your team better salary cap.
Or if you just dislike having a guy in your team.
Yeah, that's a good one.
If you think he's a malcontent, whatever, that's not Darius Garland. You don't need to trade him. Nobody shouldn't dump him. But if you can make your team better, you got to consider everything. And I think that we're seeing that the Indiana Pacers are showing everybody, okay, you better be ready to go next year. Orlando certainly got the message.
I think so. Last night felt like it was over at the end. Indiana made that run, and I'm like, if they can push through and finish this thing off, then maybe this is, I don't know. I just felt like Oklahoma City made their statement last night in a big game. They've got 2 games to win. 1, Indiana has to go win 2 in a row. They rarely lose 2 in a row. It's been a long time since they've lost 2 straight games in a row. Now they've lost 2 straight games, and Indiana now finds themselves trying to figure out, okay, we're going home. I don't. They're going to tape a lot of aspirins to Halliburton's leg to make him a little bit better. And I don't. Do you have any feeling for the next game for 6?
Yeah, I'll take Indiana.
You will take Indiana in this game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huh?
Whether Halliburton is good to go or not.
All right. What do you think the difference was in last night's game?
Home court advantage was a big deal. Jalen Williams was phenomenal. I thought it was interesting. Last night in the post game on the on-court interview, Lisa Salters was back for ABC and was interviewing Jalen Williams. And she said something about Indiana cutting it to 2 in the fourth quarter. Did you guys see this? Lisa said, you know, here comes Indiana in the fourth quarter and they cut it to 2. And he said, did they really? And she said, yeah, they did. Oh. How can that be? You know what I mean?
Because you're so into the game and you're worried about what your team's doing and you don't worry about what the other team's doing.
Yeah, he's just playing.
He was in the zone. He was 1 point short of a career high.
He looked at Lisa and he said, you know, I'm on live TV. Did they really? I had to laugh. They did. It was 95-93 with about 8 minutes to go. And then they went nuts and blew him out for the rest of the way.
Is getting 71 points from 2 guys?
No.
Is
it a way to win? Sure.
Yeah.
Is it the way to win? Not necessarily. You know, Indiana has gone through the entire playoffs, Andy, by playing team basketball. And, you know, one night it might be Pascal Siakam. Next night it might be Nembhard. We've seen that. Next night it might be Tyrese Halliburton. Could be Miles Turner having a big night. That's one way to win. Another way is, hey, star players, go. And that's what happened last night. Jalen Williams, a young star, up and coming. One thing I really like about Oklahoma City, and you know, I've been pulling for the Pacers in this, and I love the way they play. Oklahoma City, and I forget the exact stat, they're the youngest team in the finals in however long a period of time, and like the third youngest team to ever be in the NBA finals. Hmm. They're going to be around, and they have draft assets still to come. And they have two picks, two first-rounders in this draft. There's already trade talk about them trying to move up. Hmm. You imagine them adding another good young player?
Nembhard last night struggled to me in the second half. Like, didn't help them defensively.
He had some really dumb passes as well and some bad turnovers. It seemed like they may have short-circuited him, sadly.
Yeah, I kind of did. But Jeff, you know, we talk about that distribution of points, and it's interesting because Indiana had five guys in double figures. Siakam, Nesmith had 14, Turner had 13, Obi Toppin had 12 off the bench, McConnell had 18 off the bench. And normally when you look at that, you're like, oh, okay, well,
McConnell was tough.
Yeah, they were spreading the wealth. Yeah, he had some tough buckets late
sure
in the game.
Did.
Wow. I thought he was the catalyst for them coming back to cut it to two.
I agree.
But then you look at Oklahoma City, they had four guys in double figures, but they were on the edge. I guess Dort and, you know, Holmgren had nine each, so if they just get one more, they'd be in doubles. But to get 71 points from two guys, and then you really, I mean, Wiggins and Wallace were the other two.
Just solid contributions off the bench, which is all they need.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, teams are built differently, Andy, and the Thunder are clearly built, you know, around Shea and Williams to some extent, and you know, he's going to do nothing but get better. That's why Oklahoma City's really, I think, dangerous. You know, take a look at who they have. Shea is an MVP.
Yep.
That's not going to change. He's going to be great for a long time. Jalen Williams, one of them, is getting better and getting better and getting better. And then look at what else is there. Chet Holmgren's going to be great, and he's just a young guy who hasn't played very much yet. He's already a really good NBA player. Imagine what he's going to be. And then in the middle, you got Hartenstein, who's really solid.
Steinstein.
Dort is tough. I mean, I just think they have a team that could be really, really fun for a long time and sustainable because they're so young.
The thing about Indiana that I thought was interesting, because I thought we may have seen this too against the Cavaliers, is, you know, when they're good, they're so, so good. But when they are ugly, Jeff, they are super ugly. The way they were turning the ball over yesterday, just silly stuff. I was like, what are they doing? Like, you're so close to getting back in this thing. Because they were like hanging around. I was like a third quarter.
Well, they play an up and down game. And that sometimes leads to things.
I also think it's interesting that that there have been so many turnovers on inbound passes from underneath the basket. I found that to be interesting. Like every time I turn around, I'm like, when a team's down like six, we've seen it several times in this series too, where you get that hard pressure on the inbounds pass, which I think, I don't know, 95% of the time when you're playing in a regular NBA game, you're just not seeing that. And when these guys are putting pressure on, Indiana especially, putting pressure on to try to change the momentum and get back into a game, they're really good at it. Although we saw Oklahoma City do it yesterday too, but I just thought it's interesting to watch that. I know you can't do that all the time, but I just think it's interesting to watch some of that stuff. Jeff is in University Heights. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Jeffrey.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you all today?
Good.
Well, I'm watching this game as a Cavs fan, this series rather, as a Cavs fan, and I'm watching it from what can the Cavs learn from this? First of all, as a fan, I learned what I see is the Cavs is constituted, I don't think, would have been a gentleman sweep against OKC because of the pressure that they put on and the lack that the Cavs, in my opinion, have shown lack of mental and sometimes physical toughness. But when I was watching Jalen Williams last night, guys, the person who came to mind for me was Evan Mobley. And that's the way Evan Mobley needs to play. When I saw that, I said, I hope Evan Mobley is watching this and taking notes. Because what Jalen Williams was doing last night in that game, and what he's done really throughout the series, game one aside, but since game one, what he's done throughout this series, you can make a legitimate case for him to be the MVP of the series should Oklahoma City pull it through, although Shea will probably get it. But Evan Mobley should be watching how aggressive he is, how he doesn't even have to demand the ball. They get it to him. But because of his track record is why they do that. And he needs to display that same tight level of aggression on the offensive end that J-Dub, as they call him in OKC, does. That's what I'm taking from this series, that Evan Mobley needs to become the offensive player and be as the aggressive player that J-Dub is, for him to take the next step, and then for that to also translate to the Cavs taking the next step. Because if he doesn't, then you're probably going to have second-round exits again next year unless something unforeseen takes place.
Jeff, thank you. Appreciate the phone call. You concur?
Yeah, I think Evan Mobley has room for growth. And when he does, when his game continues to expand, look out. I have said for several years, I think when he becomes the 1 or 1A co-number one scoring option on this team, I think that's when the Cavs can be at their absolute best. I think he is a different type of player. And I think having a terrific backcourt guy and a terrific frontcourt guy is a better way to do it.
All right, let's roll on. I want to talk a little bit more about this with you. What were your thoughts on last night's game? What are the Cavaliers learning? Also, we are very excited. Former Indian, one of my favorite players growing up, is going to join us, especially with the Guardians out west taking on the Giants. You know him? You love him? Former second baseman? Home run hitter extraordinaire? Wouldn't you say that, Jeff?
No.
Times one? Dwayne Kuiper is going to join us at 11:40. So I'm looking forward to that.
What does he do for a living? He's a play-by-play voice of the San Francisco Giants.
So we will talk to Dwayne Kuiper next. Coming up at 11:40. Sorry, I'm an hour off. My bad. Dwayne Kuiper at 11:40, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I got to tell you, when it comes to that NBA draft, I'm super excited for that 49th pick. I'm just leaning into it, Jeff. Just leaning into it. That's the future of the franchise right there for the Cavs. Pick number 49.
Why so salty?
I'm sorry, 59 should be more exciting.
Why so salty?
I don't like going into these drafts without having a first-round pick. I understand what we have.
Well, get used to it.
Well, let's see. Well, we do have one in 2026.
Yeah.
But that could be swapped out, yep. Right?
It won't be.
We do have a second round pick in 2026, so that's good too. Nothing in 27.
That's correct.
And in 28, another swap. That's
and
right.
In 29, it's out.
But back in 30, in 2030, we're back. And I can feel it. I feel the excitement. 2030, we're going to get a great pick in 2030. First overall pick.
So salty.
I'm not salty. Between, Denver and Houston having all of our picks, I'm so tired of watching drafts with them. Between football and
Utah,
basketball.
Already moved them along, huh?
No, I'm talking about. Utah. Yeah, what am I saying? Utah. I gave it to Denver. My bad. You're looking at me like I'm crazy today. Am I on drugs today or something? Or what's going on?
Oh, today.
Every day, Jeff. Every day. All right, let's go back and talk a little bit more about this game, this Indiana and Oklahoma City game.
Dwayne Kuiper coming up at 11:40. Anxious to talk to him.
So when you look back at this again, what did we learn? And I thought the last caller brought up a good point. what should the Cavaliers be learning? What have we learned? And do you think Oklahoma City is about to walk away with this thing? Because I do. I think I think this is over.
I think it's going seven.
I've been pro Indiana. Like, I was all Indiana in six. I just kind of feel like Indiana's going to have some kind of spark, and you're going to get sucked in the beginning of the game, and you're going to go like, oh, Indiana's going to do this. And then when it's all said and done, we'll see the stage. What?
How are we going to go?
We're going to get all sucked in, and we're all going to think that Indiana's going to go on and win this thing, right?
Oh, Indiana's going to do this.
And then all of a sudden, now you're looking at Oklahoma City just takes a run at the end of the game, and it'll be just so nonchalant. It'll be like, oh, yeah, oh, look at that. Indiana just blew a 10-point lead, and Oklahoma City's just chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Boom! Oklahoma City goes on to win the championship in six. It's just, that's kind of the feeling I have. So why do you think Indiana can come back and win this game six?
Have you not watched them?
I know, but last night was the first night I felt like, you know what?
They came back again, Andy. They just didn't finish it off.
But they didn't. They got to within two.
That happens. That's what playoffs are all about. You're on the road, a hostile environment. Best pumped in crowd noise in the NBA.
Is that true?
And they cut it to two.
Is that true?
I know it used to be.
Why is it super loud that you can't even hear yourself?
Yes, it's the loudest arena I've ever been in.
Do you think they're the only ones in the NBA pumping in noise?
I didn't say that, did I?
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much noise in our venue do you think is real?
It's a good question.
Do you think we pump in noise too?
I think most of them do. They don't turn down announcers' microphones in arena announcers.
Okay.
Let's go to a break. Now it's louder than it's ever been before. Can't wait till the action resumes so we can relax.
It's the way you like your basketball, isn't it?
Sure is.
Dan, who do you like in the rest of the series?
How hurt is Halliburton?
There's the question.
It's all that. If Halliburton is 70%, 75%, Oklahoma City wins game six and we're done here. I mean, that's the thing with it is they need Halliburton is the engine of that offense. And while Siakam can bring the ball up the floor and do a nice job, and McConnell does a really nice job as well when he gets in there for his 25 minutes, Halliburton is the engine of that offense.
The one thing to remember about him, though, if he is able to facilitate on offense, I think they still have a great chance. And I think they're going to win game six regardless. If he's able to facilitate, they don't need him to score. They would like him to score.
100% yes.
They would like him to score. But if he can get the ball up and down the floor and facilitate the offense, they have a great chance to still win the series. I'm picking Oklahoma City. I did before the series started. I picked them in seven. I don't see any reason to change that now.
He can't be Ben Simmons, though. I mean, that's my fear, is if he's going to go 0-for and look like Ben Simmons, where he's just kind of timid and knows that he doesn't have the lift on his shot and is going to try to do
it. Well, that's a problem.
Yeah, he can't be in a position where they can sag off of him and help other directions because they know he doesn't have the lift on his jumper. I mean, that's going to be the thing.
If he can't hit a three-pointer, they're not going
to
win.
Lots to be said for a set shot.
What was he, 0-for-5 to start the first half? And then he ended up 0-for-4 from three. He ended up with 4 points on the night. They were all free throws. I don't see them winning without him at least getting double digits.
He still could. You know, keep that in mind. He still could.
But how many assists? He had 6 assists last night. So it led the team in assists. So I can see where you're coming from.
Guys dinged up. And he was dinged up, was a non-factor, and they came down from double digits deep, close to 20. And cut it to a 2-point game with 8-something to go. That's why I think if he can get out there and facilitate, and they're on their home court, they can certainly win game six.
Can you see the Garland parallel here with Halliburton being hurt and having that same kind of Garland feeling? Like, that's what I was like, I'm watching Halliburton, I'm watching him struggle, and they're showing the replays where it seemed like his leg wasn't connected to his body, and he was just having trouble, like, trying to move forward in a... not aggressive.
And he was all wrapped up early in the game.
Yeah, and maybe it was just, it's the added visual of seeing him in that kind of a brace that makes you think, how is this guy playing? Like, there's no way, this is regular season, he's not on the floor. There's no way, right?
Well, of course not.
Okay.
But it's not the regular season. So he's going.
Can you see the Garland parallel? I think I heard somebody call in this morning too, was saying sort of what I was thinking during the game too, that you're like, it kind of makes you realize that in watching the Cavaliers struggle with Indiana and like feeling that wanting to have Garland to be able to do more, it was that same feeling I had for Halliburton last night. It was just like, I'm like, I want Halliburton to be able to do more. I just physically don't think he can. He was in pain. I just thought he looked like he was in pain.
Well, he probably was. You know, it's game six coming up. If he can play, he'll play. And if he can facilitate, I think they'll win. He doesn't need to score 15 points for them to win. If he goes out and he can run the offense, doesn't get scorched on the defensive end, I think they'll win game six, and I think they'll lose in game seven. Mm.
Dan, who do you got? 6-7. Six.
I need to know what's going on with Halliburton.
Assume that Halliburton is the same player that we saw last night.
I mean, they got 2 days to get him in the best possible position they can. He will get round the clock treatment. He will get every single possible help you can think of, and he might not be able to feel his leg from the knee down to even help the cause a little bit farther. If that's the case, if you can tell me that Halliburton can get me 16-10 with mediocre defense, then Indy wins game six. If he can't get 16-10 with mediocre defense, then it's OKC the whole way, no matter how loud that arena is. You can't have that offense work without Tyrese Halliburton. Like, it becomes so clunky. And there's too much pressure that's put on Nembhard, and there's too much pressure that's put on the other guys. And you saw it last night with Nembhard when he was doing things where you're like, buddy, what are you doing? Why are you throwing cross-court passes? Like, what are we doing here? They're picking those off left and right. You can't do that. And it's just the sign of a guy trying to do too much to help out a player who's injured.
They haven't lost two games in a row since March 10th, 8th, and then the 6th. They lost three in a row. That's the last time that Indiana lost three in a row. This goes back to a conversation we had yesterday. You know, what jumps off that page to me is they lost back-to-back games to Atlanta and then to Chicago. You know, we were sitting here talking about what teams are going to be tough next year in the East. And if you go back to the regular season in that March stretch where they lost three games in a row, they were to Atlanta and Chicago, which makes just Atlanta, Orlando, they're just annoying, man. They're annoying teams, and they're teams that just, I never feel comfortable when the Cavaliers play them. It always just seems like some nights you're going to be like, it's Atlanta, we're in trouble, or it's Chicago, we're in trouble. I know it's the NBA, and sometimes you get on a run where you think you can beat a team over and over and over again, but I just feel like there's a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference that are like that just kind of like they can sting you when they need to.
I think the East next year is going to be wide open. And there are going to be a number of teams, and we'll see what they do in the offseason. But obviously already one team in the East has improved with the Desmond Bane trade going to Orlando. And Jake Chapman, our former producer, now voice of the Magic, he's going to join us at 1 o'clock to talk about that. Orlando's already better. Cavs are going to be good. Pacers are going to be good. Knicks. Bucks have Giannis. As long as they still have Giannis, they're going to be good.
What are you doing in Milwaukee?
Celtics are going
to
be good.
Are you getting rid of him and try to start back over?
Why would
over?
You get rid of him?
Because you want to try to revamp your entire...
No, trading superstars usually isn't a good idea. It happens in that league all the time. They trade superstars like crazy. Giannis seems to enjoy Milwaukee. I'm building around him. There's no way I'm going to trade him. Unless some team wants to give you... You know, picks and significant players.
Well, I mean, we have picks coming up in 2096.
Move along.
I'm just saying.
Move along.
Playing basketball on Mars at that point.
Oh, you think so?
Probably.
I don't know. There's that Crater League that's pretty good up there
too. Could
too. And then there's.
Do you like an Eastern Conference that could be wide open?
I do. I think it's good for the Cavaliers. Because I think the Cavs showed this year.
I think it's not good for the Cavaliers.
You don't think it's good?
Mm-mm.
If they can figure out how to. The rhythm of the season didn't work for them.
You know what my fear is for the Cavs?
Hmm.
They had their year. And they were so head and shoulders above everybody else they won't be head and I believe this, they won't be head and shoulders above everybody else next year. That doesn't mean they can't get to the NBA Finals. Take a look at Indiana. But I think the next regular season is going to be a struggle in the Eastern Conference. And I think you could have numerous teams that could end up thinking that they're going to win 48-plus games. I mean, Indiana won 50, I believe, in the regular season. They were 14 games behind the Cavaliers. They were fourth. So you're going to have, I think, a lot of teams that are going to be able to compete to get to the Eastern Conference championship game and then get to the NBA Finals as a result. And when that happens, Andy, it opens it all up. One thing, and I hate to say this, Cavs were remarkably healthy during the regular season. That's just unlikely to happen again. I mean,
and we talked about this a thousand times, they ran into a lot of teams that were not healthy. Indiana in the beginning of the year really wasn't playing well. They got on a string of games where you'd be playing Boston, and Boston would be missing, you know, one or two guys.
It happened time and time again during the regular season. But you can only play, you know, a team that's on the schedule that night. Not up to you to put their guys on the floor.
I mean, it feels like it was 10,000 years ago when we thought this was all coming down to the Cavs and Celtics, right? Doesn't that feel like it was forever? You're like, oh, this is going to be Cavs-Celtics. This is going to be Cavs-Celtics.
Well, it was close to Cavs-Celtics.
Until injury for the Celtics and then an injury for the Cavalier, too. I mean,
Celtics just got beat.
Well, it didn't help that you lost your best player.
Well, it was late.
But still, I mean, the series wasn't over when he got hurt. They still had a chance.
And Tatum's good enough, you could make an argument that he could have maybe thrown everybody on his back and caught a hot streak, and maybe. Here we go. I mean, it's an argument that you can make when you lose your best player. You know, you could spin it that direction. Guys, if it's not there for the Cavs, I'm not forcing trades. I'm running it back and thinking, okay, give me another year
under
Kenny Atkinson.
Of course you don't.
I don't think they have a choice. I think they're running it back. We can sit here and talk blue in the face about trading Garland or trading anybody. I just think it's going to be difficult for them to make any kind of maneuver that is going to be better than where they were last year. I think that's the key. Like, if you feel like you can trade Garland and you can get better, then do it. But I just don't see it, right? I just don't see the restrictions they have on him going all across, and I'll keep saying that. All right, let's get into the Browns. Mary Kay Cabot, four quarterbacks when the season starts? We're going to ask her that question when we come back. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.